The Saturday Panel on Off the Ball.
So the name Nemo Ranger is synonymous with club football in this country. The most successful football club in the country. 7-time All-Ireland club champions, 17-time Munster champions and 21-time Cork County champions. And they're in next month's All-Ireland club semi-finals. And we're going to have a very special panel on it this afternoon because we are been talking over the last few weeks about the new condensed AIBGEA club championship schedule, with the finals due to be played on the 19th of January. The semi-finals taking place on the first weekend in January. Check out GAA.ie for more information. And I'm joined in studio by three Nemo Rangers legends. I'm not quite one myself just yet. Maybe one of the days. After this, perhaps. Dinny Allen, very well known, won 4 Club All-Irelands with Nemo in 79, 82, 84 and 89. 6 Munster Crowns, just the 8 Cork County titles. And of course, an All-Ireland winner as well, with Cork captaining the side under Billy Morgan in 1989. Aoife Fitzgerald won Club All-Irelands as a player with Nemo as well in 82, 84, 89 and 94. Currently the Cork Ladies Football Manager, won an All-Ireland in 2016 with the Cork Ladies Footballers. And Alan Cronin, who is currently playing with the Nemo Rangers side, who are the current Munster champions, played his 50th championship game for Nemo in the Munster final win over Clonmel Commercials. Thanks for coming up to Dublin, lads.
No problem. Thank you.
So for anyone who maybe doesn't know the geography of Cork, Dinny, where exactly is Nemo base? What's the catchment area?
Well, the catchment area now in the last 17 or 18 years is part of Douglas. We moved about 600 or 700 yards. We were closer to Turner's Cross, whereas synonymous with soccer and all that sort of thing. But so Turner's Cross was considered our area, but it's an old area now, so we just had to get out of where we were anyway, because even though we won a lot of All-Ireland clubs in the area, we had only one pitch and there used to be 4 or 5 different teams, so we did remarkably well. We didn't, since we moved, we haven't won any All-Ireland clubs, so I don't know what the training
methods. You were better off with the one pitch, were you?
We were, I think we were, or something like that. It worked anyhow for us that time. So it's basically Douglas, ourselves, Turner's Cross, in the south side of the city.
Soccer and all that kind of thing, you say, but Turner's Cross was once Nemo Rangers' home?
Turner's Cross area was, or and
but going, the actual but pitch itself, I think, back in the 30s? Itself,
yeah, back in the 30s it was, and I think we got out by mistake out of it, really, and there's different theories about it at this stage, but I think we left it go for relatively easy at one stage, you know. So anyway, that's the way it is. We are where we are now, you know.
That generation to generation, Alan, very much the case together in your family.
Yeah, it is. I have 2 brothers playing at the moment, I suppose, and then which is unbelievable to have involved, but I suppose to give you an idea of where the family nature of the club is. Someone said to me, geez, it must be unreal, like 3 brothers in one team. There's no doubt that that's one of the first times, and I was kind of going, actually, there's 3 other brothers on the team and their father's the manager, so they've won up on us straight away. It's that kind of way. It's always been the case that, like, your best friends were down the club and you were just going down, knocking around. My granddad would have been involved. My uncles would have been involved. It's just kind of all you know, I suppose, really, and you'd be looking up to the 2 lads, like Dinny would have managed us junior hurling, and fellas would say we're not a hurling club, but Dinny would definitely tell you otherwise, and you wouldn't be telling him you were skipping anything to do with hurling. And Aoife brought me onto the senior panel in 2009, so I suppose there's just always that thing of you're looking up at the generation above you and thinking, I'd love to be as good as them.
What are the main rivalries then down in Cork? We were down in the bars last summer doing a show, and a lot of the conversations was more hurling based, were around their rivalry with Glen Rovers and the epic games they had through the years. Who are the rivals? Who are the local rivals and the games that stand out over the years, Dinny?
Well, the Bears would definitely be rivals of us, or we'd be rivals of them. You know, like we came in, like they were winning counties in the 40s, the 50s, they won a lot of counties, and coming into the 60s, we didn't arrive on the scene until we got into a few semi-finals of counties in the late 60s, but we weren't, and it took us until 1970 to get into our first county final, which we lost. So we were really not treated badly, but like people just didn't take too much notice. We were there, and that's about it. Like, but then.
And what changed? When you think back, was it a bit of good fortune that you had a good crop of players all coming together at the same time and somehow changed the culture of the place and changed expectations, or were there certain key individuals sort of changed the way the club was run?
I'd say it was like the time they improved in the 60s was because They won a minor county championship in 1958 with some very good players, and one fella who's dead now, Vincey Barrett, who went through turmoil after playing. He played a junior hurling match with us, and he was hit down top of the head. There was no helmets at the time, and he had to get a plate into his head. But he was our top player back in 65, 66, at 24, 25 years of age. He was the guy that was going to bring us into the 70s, which was before our time, but he just never played again after that. He was lucky to live, and he got through it after 2 weeks or so like that. So he was one of our fellas that delayed us a bit more, because he was playing for Cork Hurling and football, that sort of thing, and he was a brilliant man. So that slowed us down. And then the minor team that we played in 1970, which produced, like, in 2 years, there was about seven of that minor team in 70 were playing senior for Nemo, and that definitely boosted us on.
Yeah, 70 was the year Nemo reached their first.
70 was the first year we won senior club final, yeah, and 72
then. Did you play
that day? Yeah, I did, yeah. And 72 then we won our first county against UCC, and we had the likes of the young fellas coming into a team with Billy Morgan and Frank Hogan on it. So, like, there was a good mix, and all the fellas, Donald Barrett, was there, Jimmy Barrett, that played with Cork in the 73 All-Ireland final, was there. So, like, we had very, very good players in their late 20s, and we had very good players coming in from that minor team. So we started producing from that. And then the lads are still, every year that we seem to get good players coming into the senior team. Now, minor championships, like, we didn't win, we won a few of them, but we didn't win a lot of them, you know, so... Like, we just always got three or four players out of minor into senior, which turned out to be good.
Was that by accident or design? Because one of the things you often hear about Nemo, and obviously when a club has had such success, people like to look in and try and take a little something as to how they keep churning out these quality club players. And the one thing you often hear is, oh, they look at underage in a different way, that at under 12, under 14, under 16... they're not winning county titles. There's no great pressure. It's about learning your skills, which, funny enough, we were down in Curfin a couple of weeks ago. They seem to have a very different attitude. Like, is that something that, you know, we can sort of look at with red tinted glasses and say, or is that actually, when you think back to coming through, was that the way it was?
The schools had an awful lot to play as well. Nemo and Craythree, both primary school and secondary school, would have been very close. So an awful lot of the skills we've learned certainly would have come from the likes of Brother Cullum now, who's dead, and, you know, the Kevin Cummins. There was a whole range of people who looked after us when we were growing up. That coupled with the training we were getting in Nemo, you know, meant that we came out of it, as Dinny said there, there was always two or three of us. Maybe we didn't have great teams coming up, but two or three who would be good enough to maybe go on the senior panel. And once the success started, then it kind of snowballed from there. And to be fair, we were always, in terms of innovation, we were always ahead as well. And Billy always tried to, Billy was manager or coach, whatever it was, then selector. But when we went in, he tried to stay a step ahead of the rest in terms of preparation. And I'll always remember, they bought a weights machine, himself and Jim Cramer. It was a big yoke. There was loads of stuff on, but it had to be put together.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd say it took them, no, Billy, putting stuff together wouldn't have been the best. But they spent weeks, himself and Jim Cramer, who had been involved with us as well, to get this weight station together. But that was a step ahead of what everybody else was doing. We were always, I would say, we were fitter than everybody else, weren't we?
We were, I'd say.
We were definitely physically fitter than everybody else. And when you add that up to the success that started in the 70s, then, you know, there was a good template there. And the humility as well. Like, we were always told, no matter who was in chair, like, I played under Dinny as manager, who was manager when you were a bit with Billy, was probably there. There was a humility there in Nemo, you know, people, there was no arrogance, like, winning, you won with dignity and you lost with dignity. And that's always been the way with the club. So, you know, you won't see an awful lot of hooting and hollering when we win things. And some people see that as arrogance, but it's not really. It's just the way that we were brought up. So, and that's, again, that's kind of handed down from generation to generation. So when you add all that up, you know, and the I suppose the will to win that we had, that we have, has always been there, hasn't it? That kind of will to be the best that you can be. You know, and once you produce that, then after that, it's a case of you know, we'll give it our best shot.
Is that Corkness that they talk about over the last couple of years?
I think it's that Nemo-ness, I think, is what we call it. But there's always someone in the bar to just tell you afterwards, you know, you could come in, and I've got, I suppose, fellas like Luke Connolly or Kerrigan would come in and say, I got 1-5 or 1-6 today, and someone would quickly point out that you missed this one or you missed that one, or I have this many more county medals than you, or and they'd be in turn told, well, you don't have as many All-Irelands as me. And that's kind of the way it goes, you know. I think it's a very special place in that regard. And sometimes you come in and your man might be after kicking 3 or 4 points off you, and someone like Jimmy Kerr will go, I'm telling you, they should have put you on today. And it doesn't belong bringing you back down to earth, regardless of what the result was. And that's probably more of a measure of us than anything else, I think.
And when you think back to being a kid and starting out and comparing yourself to players at other clubs, and as players start going into development squads with counties, did Nemo have a different type of player? Was it that thing still, that they were that bit fitter, or were they a bit more cultured? Was there a different type of coaching?
I actually think probably the biggest thing from my experience, lads might tell you different, is when you went in with the Cork 16s or the Cork Minors, the better players were establishing themselves in their club senior team, and you were coming along and saying, I really hope I get a game with the intermediates this week. And that's always been the way.
There's no
rush, there's no space for you at that time, and until you're fully developed, you're not going to play. So it's an advantage in one way, obviously, at the time when you're that age, you're kind of kicking yourself going, oh, I'd love to be playing, or you know, maybe I should be playing, but reality is you shouldn't, and there's probably 30, 40 players ahead of you. And that's just, it seems to be the way, right from, say, we the fellas, young fellas coming through, we have a great batch at the moment. We've probably more young fellas playing now than we would have had a few years ago. But we still have, you know, Paul Kerrigan, Aidan O'Reilly, older lads that are really experienced, and Tucker O'Brien. Those lads have 8 county medals, and you're not going to push them out of the team easy.
Aoife, when you talk there about Billy Morgan, and when people think of Nemo Rangers, automatically they think of Billy Morgan and his influence as a player and as a manager, and all he did with Cork as well, and been a bit of a trailblazer. Maybe it was on that fitness side. What was it about him that he was able to change things? Was it just force of personality?
Well, I suppose the big Billy's, for me anyway, his biggest asset is his passion and his commitment to the whole thing. You know, he's still a senior selector, and he just has that, I suppose, tunnel vision where, you know, Nemo is everything, and you know, he gives it every single ounce of what he has, and that rubs off then. And he's obviously getting older now, but his enthusiasm is infectious, you know, and his positivity, you know, no matter what. I'll always remember we lost, I think the first year I played was 79, and we were beaten by the Bears in Ballinlock in a semi-final or whatever. But we were still in the league, and we went back doing a bit of training the following week. He just came up and tipped me on the shoulder and said, you know, you'll win a half a dozen of them. You know, he just passionate, so you'll win a half a dozen of them.
The right word at the right time.
Yeah, you know, so like there was always that. Likewise, like Denis, myself played together for about 15 years. He played for about 40 years, but in general, but he was always like an older brother to me as well, where we could, you know, rely on. We were talking earlier, I don't think I ever had a cross word with him on or off the pitch. We just got on well together, all of us, really, generally, you know. So now there was in training, there would have been a few fisticuffs here and there, but it was never be personal. It would all, you know, to be all sorted there and then in the night and that. So, but with regard to Billy, it was just that infectious attitude, and you'd want to play because he'd want it so much, you know, and he'd drag you along with him. Even the, what you call the fellas who didn't like the training that much, were forced to come along, because that's just the way he was.
And like, when you talk about getting in the gym equipment before anybody else had it, and Nemo going to be fitter and probably finishing games stronger than anybody else because of that, like, was he doing that through a lot of research, through looking around at what other maybe professional teams were doing, or was there just some sort of, do you think, was there something natural inside him that he just had a way of blazing a trail?
Yeah, well, he got his degree from Strawberry Hill in London, so he was up to all that modern kind of stuff. Wasn't probably that modern, but it was different than lapping the pitches and that sort of thing. So that, but it was more than, like, as Aoife said, like, it was passion was his thing. And I mean, if I had to use one more word, like, loyalty. If you're loyal to Billy, like, and loyal to the club, you were up there at the top, like. And if you were a bad game, it didn't matter once you're loyal. That sort of thing. So, like, I think I can still see that in the Nemo team. Like, fellas saying, what do you have that we don't have, fellas? Say, I don't know. I mean, I can't honestly say, but I can.
What's the secret, Denny? Come on, tell us.
I can pick the one word, and that's loyalty. You know, yeah. I mean, there's fierce loyalty in the club. I mean, I know we get slagging for, if you see one Nemo fella, you'll see six together. Like, they're never on their own. That sort of thing. But that's all down to love of the club and loyalty. So loyalty can make him play much better. than being just going out and picking and choosing. Also, Billy had a big advantage, I think, because he's a special type of guy. He could play the match himself, obviously, and also manage the team. That's a very hard thing to do. I mean, you wouldn't hear of it now. I mean, people say, what, I know he played in goal, which is the same thing. He had to go out and play in goal, and he had to manage the team as well and come in at half-time and discuss this and discuss that. And I remember one day, actually, he left in a soft goal, I suppose, against St. Michael's. I think it was Ray Cummins got it against him, actually. And, like, he was like a lunatic at half-time over it himself. He wasn't giving... And, he was able to settle himself down at half-time and go on and produce a great display in the second half, stopping a penalty in the second half, you know. So, like, that is a difficult thing to do. But if you can do it, the players will listen to you more because he's playing as well. He's not just on the sideline saying things. He's saying it and he's playing. So that carried a lot with us as well, like when Billy spoke that way, you know.
How big a part of your life was the club when you were a kid, when you were a teenager, and like thinking back to 1970 and playing in a county final for the first time, and I think it was a pretty dramatic game in the end that you lost. Mm. Was your life very much revolving around everything that was happening at Nemo?
It was. Everything was like, I mean, it was a fierce exciting and you loved it. I mean, it's not that you were burdened with something or anything. Like, it was just fantastic to play in it.
Because it's hard to imagine now, county finals come around quite a bit for Nemo Rangers. At the time, what was the attitude like getting to a first county final?
Well, the attitude in 1970 was diabolical. I mean, there was an air of depression around Turner's Cross after getting to a first county final. We were, remember, with 5 minutes into the second half, we were 9 or 10 points up. I actually got a goal from, I think I must have had great eyesight, behind the old athletic grounds, 'twas now, and a few young fellas set fire to the grass behind the goal, and it was all smoke billowing everywhere, and the ball came across, and you could hardly see the goal now, but the smoke was so thick. But I saw the ball coming anyway. No, I don't think no one else saw it because it was so thick. I punched the ball into net to put us 10 points up. We lost the match by a point. I mean,
Who were you playing?
We were playing Musgrave, which were a divisional team.
Right.
And the discussion at the dinner for about 3 weeks after was about whatever this happened and that happened. And my mother came in one day and she says, I'm not bringing in any more plates to this dining room, she says, unless you stop talking about that match. I'm sick to my teeth, she said. And I think it took about 3 or 4 weeks for us to stop talking about it.
Go on, what are we, 50 years on, what went wrong?
What went wrong? I think we just left in a goal after that one, and we just started bleeding. And just, I think we all lost our head, even the older fellas. We just couldn't stop it. And then the following year, we're not going to go through it. The following year, we were beaten in the semi-final. So we were beginning to think at this stage, it was getting a bit dodgy. But then 72 came, and after that, then we were kind of winning one every 2 years or that sort of thing until Efi came along and won 4 in a row, we never won even 3 in a row up to that. We always seemed to lose. But we always, every couple of years then, we kept it.
Keep it ticking along.
But the All-Ireland club now is beginning to get long for us, so we haven't won it for 16 years or something, which is a long time ago, you know. So just to put pressure on Ellen, that's all I'm saying it for.
But it is very, Billy had a great sidekick in Jim Cremin as well. And back then, when I came in, we were a lot more naive than kids are now. And, you know, with the internet and with the world is a smaller place now, it's a different world in terms of... But like Jim would be telling us stories there, so they wouldn't be half true. But we'd be believing everything, you know.
What sort of stuff?
Passionate stuff about cowboys and Indians and all sorts of stuff.
But
we'd be getting stories about it. Could be anything.
Yeah.
You know, but he was so convincing. And himself and Billy would have been a very good double act.
They bounce off each other.
Yeah, and like we just bought into it. And, you know, the world is against us, I suppose.
I could never imagine a pep talk at half time with the Lone Ranger being mentioned. You know, so that's what Jim Cremin would be making up all these stories to get your attention.
I think we were the cowboys, the Indians were circling the wagons and all this kind of stuff. But anyway.
I've actually heard that one too, so it's carried on.
Even the half time talks have a tradition, do they?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they would have. But Jim was a bit of a philosopher, and he. You know, he wouldn't be the most well-known of Nemo, but he'd have been instrumental in awful lot of the, particularly the mental stuff. And he'd be very good to fellas off the field. You know, if a fella was having a hard time, Jim would be, you know, integrating him. But it was a great family. Like, my mother would never go to matches. She'd be outside with a rosary bead because she'd be afraid someone would get hurt.
and she'd be walking up and down outside the park, and are they all right now, regardless of the result? You know, if that,
yeah.
Your mam didn't go to a lot of matches, did she? But like, they'd always be praying for us, and there'd be things going similar. Like, I suppose, like every other village, we were like a little village, but we were in the city.
Yeah, and because we're in the city, maybe people on the outside don't appreciate that. That
yeah,
it's just as important to the community as it is to a rural place out in West Cork. That actually, it's still that coming together on a Saturday night for a match or a Sunday, that like, it very much keeps that tie together, that even 50 years on you're still talking about games.
Well, it was our loves and we'd still be friends, and we were up looking at it. Now the two of us would be up at the back of, if it's in Parky Ring, we're standing together looking down looking at it. So it just it moves on, everything moves on. But yeah, you know, with the new generation, certainly they've been doing us proud. Now, you know, it's difficult, and I think Corrifin, to be fair, have been as good a club team as I've ever seen. I have to say they're absolutely magnificent to look at. They're physically very strong, fantastic brand of football, etc., etc. But that's the challenge now for our guys, you know. I suppose you would Cross McGlen. The one regret I'd have, I suppose, really, is that we never met Cross McGlen in a final or a semi-final. Yeah. I think it would have been good at that stage. But having said that, Corrifin are the challenge for everybody now, you know. So we're the next one to have a go in terms of trying to beat them. And I think that's the challenge. Rather than looking at it as Corrifin will be very strong favourites, I think our guys will be looking at it as it's a challenge. We got a lesson from them a couple of years ago, but this team has matured, and I think we're better now than what we were then. So it's a challenge that everybody in the club is looking forward to. And as I say, we're a bit long in the tooth now to be passing much commentary, but I know the lads train very, very hard, and you know, they're looking forward to the challenge. And I do think that you know, whatever the result will be, that Nemo will give a very good account of themselves.
There's your pep talk, Alan.
No, I suppose it's kind of funny in a sense, like we're going out to play probably the most complete club football team I've definitely seen in a couple of weeks' time, and I'm sitting here saying how great Nemo are, which is I'm sitting here saying how great Nemo are, but that's probably a testament to the lads.
Obviously, the last time you played Corrifin, it didn't go well, but when you're going up against a club like Corrifin, who everybody just talks about the brand of football more than anything else, that there's no blanket defence, they go, it seems they teach everyone to kick the ball off both feet, all the skills are there, they can execute it, like their best performances have been on an All-Ireland final day quite often, that most teams would go out and try and stop that they would have to almost go with a blanket defence, go and change their style. Is that the Nemo way? That without divulging all your tactics of what you're going to do, because I'd imagine there's an internal pressure within the club of, well, if we're going to go out, we're going to go out fighting, and we're going to play the way we've always played, and we're a big club and we don't bow down to anybody.
I think the pride thing for us is huge, obviously, but we go back to kind of the first rounds of the county championship, and we were looking at strengths and weaknesses of every team. There's no team that you can take for granted, because every time we seem to take our eye off the ball, we get a nice hiding, and we're going back to the club with our tail between our legs. So we've looked at them, and I'm sure they've looked at us and looked at a few things, but we've such pride and belief in ourselves, I suppose. At the end of the day, we wouldn't see ourselves as underdogs in any sense. But by the same token, they're a serious side, obviously, and they've done it on the big stage, like you say, where we probably fell down last year, and we have to rectify that, hopefully.
Winning the All-Ireland club title and what it means. So, 72, you win a first county title. 73, Nemo win the first of the All-Ireland club titles. And it's very much in its infancy at that stage, the All-Ireland club. It may be the third year it's ever been run. Around the club at that time, did it feel big?
Well, I was just thinking about them today. The 79 one was in Croke Park in a snow blizzard, and then the 82 one was in Ennis, and then the next one was played, believe it or not, you mightn't know, but the next one was played in Athlone. The semi-final was played on a Saturday and the final on a Sunday. I mean, that's the treatment that it was considered at the time by the GAA. You know, they were kind of, well, they're still doing a bit of it, I suppose, but saying that club competition is very important. But like, that must have been the dregs that time. I mean, playing St Mary's Sligo on a Saturday, and then we had to go out Sunday and play against Walterstone. So that was crazy. That said, where are we going with this All-Ireland club? But then it went back to where it is now. It's in Croke Park, like, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
would, around that time, would Billy have an ambition at the start of the year of, we want to go out and prove we're the best team in the country, or actually is winning Cork enough?
No, definitely not. It was going all the way, definitely.
Yeah. I think Billy was away for a couple of those years. I think Frank was in charge, was he?
Billy was away in 82.
Went to America for things. But But it was always, I know it's cliched, but the next match was always the most important one, you know, for, you know, and for us, in our time, winning Cork was probably the most difficult. Like, the Bears were very good at that stage as well, and it was always nip and tuck. I think they won a couple of All-Ireland clubs as well around that stage. So, you know, trying to get out of Cork was a big thing. In Munster, it was generally the Kerry team would be the Clare. If you were away at one of the Clare teams, they'd be very
strong. The record in Munster is just strong. Ridiculous, considering it's 21 Cork titles and going on to win Munster 17 times.
Yeah.
There can be very few records in sport of going on to the next level so frequently.
Yeah, I suppose that you just can't.
Yeah, when you read it, it surprises you. I mean, I kind of said, it's only a couple of years ago, or have we that many? You know, I mean, it just glided by them. We won them, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Are there games in the Munster Championship that stand out, or was it always Cork or All-Ireland?
I don't think we lost any. I don't think I can remember losing any Munster Championship. Like, when we were beaten, it was in the semi-final of the All-Irelands, we were getting there, you know. So, but it was astonishing to see what happened. But, like, the big problem was Kerry and Asta Stacks. Like, and Asta Stacks had five of the Kerry team, and that sort of thing. But to get over that was probably the hardest part, you know.
The burn was the only one we lost when we were playing. So you got sent off, and that
did.
What you do?
I think I stuck out my tongue at the referee. No.
It was 5-4. So it was a very low scoring game. I remember down in Middleton. But didn't even sent off early. It was the first half, was it?
No, it was.
Was it?
It was nearly half time or something.
How good was that team of the 70s and 80s when you compared them to the likes of Cross McGlenn nowadays and this Cur Finn side?
It's very difficult. It's a different era. It's different challenges. It's different. Like, the strength and conditioning, the fitness side of it now has gone through the roof. You know, you look at, you know, the physique of the better club players, we'll say, it's phenomenal, really. And, you know, so now if we had, you know, I suppose if we had those techniques, we'd have been doing the same. So, but it's very difficult to say. But the only thing we could say was they were damn hard to win. The only one we had in Ennis, and I remember Seamus Colin, God rest him, he's probably the only one us we've lost since the start. Yeah. Seamus was a great club man. He died a few years ago. But he caught the ball from the throw-in and kicked it and went over the bar, and from there on it was...
That's right. And we had a plan that day for that centre field, because they had two big centre field fellas, and the fella at the back was to jump. I can't remember who was at the back. He was to jump and punch it back to Stephen O'Brien, punched it back, and they threw in the ball anyway, and this is the plan. Next, Seamus just jumped up at the front and caught the ball. Sold it straight through from there, right through the middle, and the whole defence opened up to follow them in, and it kicked it over the bar for a pint after 5 seconds. So that was the plan, like, that was really the plan.
Yeah.
But you'd miss a lot of the old, like, we've lost a lot of guys now, the older That's generation, we'll say. Seamus would have been relatively young, but this year now, Paddy Quinn, who's the next chairman, John Collins, and Sean Toomey last year, like, there's lots of the older crew. I'm literally leaving out a few, probably know, but as well. But, you know, it's just that generation now is drifting away from us. And myself and Dini are moving into the departure lounge now, Nick. So, but it just gets handed down. And, like, the crown, you look at the... Like Stephen's, like the both families either side of me, I suppose, and my grandfather, actually my mother's father, played with Nemo back in 1926, as when they were, you know,
starting out.
I think he went to Redmond's after that. But like, so there are generations and generations. It often gets thrown at us that, oh God, should people come into Cork and they play with you? Like, we've been lucky that we've got, over the years, we've got some good players. Shea Fahey, you know, during our time would have been a big addition. But I think the one thing that they all remark on when they come in is that they can't believe how family orientated the club is, you know, and that's the most important thing for us, really, that everybody feels wanted. So regardless whether you're a junior B player, a senior player, or you're doing administrative work, everybody's treated the same. So
even welcomed Moss O'Shea in.
Yeah,
well, he invited about, himself. Yeah.
He couldn't get rid of him.
Yeah. but
there many management meetings about that.
but it is just a very welcoming club, you know, and once you're in, you know, that's the...
There's no escape.
There's no escape. Well, you're made feel very welcome, and that's the most important. And that's what we pride ourselves on, really, is that family side of it.
The connection between the club and the county then, has that always been a good relationship? Obviously, Billy went on and enjoyed great success, and you captained Cork to an All-Ireland. Was it always quite straightforward that when the players went to county, the club got behind them, there was pride there, or was there often a bit of a tug of war between the two?
No, it was like Jim, Billy would be very fair. Like, see, that time when we went training for a Munster final, all he wanted was a fortnight. If he said to this day, he'd say, all I want is, I don't want to be with fellas for 6 or 7 weeks training. All they're doing is listening to my voice and getting stale. All I want is 2 weeks for him. So there was never any problem that time. Then the lads, if the lads weren't on the Cork team, they always seemed to have 20 odd training that time, and we there might be 3 or 4 or 5 of us down with Cork, which was always only for a fortnight because we never won anything.
Junior fellas would come up too to make up the numbers. Junior intermediate players would come up to make up the numbers. But there was only 2 matches a Munster really that time, wasn't there?
For us anyhow.
Yeah.
And that was it, summer over.
Yeah.
And then if you got old with your 3 or 4 matches, we'd see the year out.
Yeah. So it was never a big issue.
No.
And Billy would be saying that when he's with the college, like he wouldn't look for fellas at all, and you can see the Kerry lads have a real kind of grow for Billy when they get involved. They
right.
go through a brick wall for him. There was a fella, we won the Sigerson in 2014, and he kind of said, like, geez, there must be something special about you, Nemo, because I go through the wall for your man, and he kind of nodded towards Billy, and he said, and I'm number 36. So that's kind of the attitude, you know. You find it hard to get fellas to buy into anything, but Billy and the lads too just always seem to have a way of getting fellas to buy into something. And again, that kind of comes back to the family ethos of the club, I think.
You heard it was an unwritten rule that the county players have to come back, and even though they mightn't train with the club, they need to be around for the training sessions?
Yeah, I think there's an unwritten there.
That would happen anyway, you know.
Yeah. They should be doing it. Like, they're expected that they should be showing their face, but right. which they do. Like, I mean, they didn't have to be forced on them, but because I've seen them out there themselves, but just in case that they didn't, it was said out there that we'd be expecting you to be around from time to time, Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays.
But club comes first, you know, and you played with Cork a lot longer than any of us, but, you know, it's a different kind of a dynamic with Cork in the sense, you know, they're your mates, but they're not your real mates in the sense of you know, you're there because you're a very good player and, you know, there's a certain bond there, but with the club, it's, particularly with Nemo, you'd feel you're letting people down if you weren't at the sessions. It might never be said, but you know, you'd feel obliged to be there. You know, so, and that's very important as well. I think for the, you know, a lot of it now has got, I suppose it's kind of elitist, and I hope we never reach a stage where like the rugby lads, where they're just taken away and they're more or less playing with the Munster lads playing. Well, now, you know, they're paid, so it's different. But like that kind of thing where.
Do you see that creeping in at all in the club? Because often when we have these conversations, there's a, you know, people get down to grassroots and volunteers aren't happy what they see. There's this, they don't see their county players from one end of the year to the other. They're getting a little bit frustrated. What's the point of it all when, you know, the club can't enjoy the success? It's very much an individual thing. Do you see that creeping in around the club at all?
Well, I think inter-county managers have a lot to answer for in lots of ways. Yeah. You know, putting demand, like, you need to be with us and that's it. If you're not with us, well then, you know, there'll be consequences there for you. I know that. You know, I think, again, I know they're trying to make changes in terms of the calendar and that, but, you know, you have to give the club. I mean, the club is where you start, it's where you finish, and it's also, it's very, very serious. At the level these guys are playing at, it's every bit as serious as the inter-county stuff, you know. They'll train every bit as hard as Cork will or anybody else will, so it's just getting that fair crack. But I think the Nemo lads will be strong enough to stand, you know, to stand their ground with that. Maybe over time, once a few times with us, there would have been demands from Cork, say you need to be here, but we'd have chosen him, or you know.
It is there, all right. Though that piece, that thing that you're talking about, definitely has crept in, you know. So you have to be aware of it, and I hope it doesn't get any stronger, because it can cause problems in the spirit of the club if that kind of stuff is coming in, and then players are kind of half afraid of the inter-county manager if he's putting things up to him saying, well, if you're not there, we can't consider you. It's a very unfair thing. It's not making the player any better by forcing him to turn up for Cork or whatever, or any other county. It's not very fair what he's doing, and it's not improving the player by any means. So, like, it has to be a bit of a camaraderie between inter-county and club. There is a way around it. It has been there for years. Yeah. There is a way around it, like that. If a player can manipulate it so that he can give priority to Nemo for a match, and then go back to his court. Like, you can weigh it up if you talk, but it's when people get very kind of stubborn about it, and then we have problems. Then we're biting our lip then about the inter-county manager or something like that. Like,
I think
it's hovering there, all right.
Yeah.
You know, so
Mickey Hartlett, as far as I know, lets his players play a lot of club football, and you know they're not doing too bad.
Brian Cody, I was just going to say. To be fair to our lads, and one of the Clonmel fellas said it. Seamus Kennedy said it in an interview before we played him. He said, "And we played Nemo on Bank Holiday Monday in a challenge game, and he said we turned up with half a team, and Nemo Cork had played on the Sunday, and the Cork 20s had won the All Ireland on the Saturday, and our Cork 20s were with us, and all our Cork seniors were with us above in Clonmel." And Bank Holiday Money for a challenge game. So you couldn't fault our fellas in that regard. They're, each and every one of them are mad keen to get back, and that kind of attitude drives everyone on then too, you know?
Yeah, in a way they probably shouldn't be put in that position, that there should be such a separation of the calendar that they're, you know, probably the risk of injury is higher than it needs to be at that stage of the season. Didn't you, when you think back through all the years and all the success in the All-Irelands and the Munster, are there any standout games, standout memories?
I suppose one of the ones I was trying to think of the last few days was the 79 one, the day that we played in a snow blizzard. I mean, I was full forward and I couldn't actually see the other side of the I couldn't see the goal down the other side of the pitch. No, at half time in the match, I think we were 4 or 5 points up, and we were saying this match is going to be abandoned. And we came out for second half and he didn't abandon it. He said we're going to keep going, lads.
So we
were 5 points up.
Yeah, no way.
And it got worse in the second half.
Colin broke his leg, that's right.
But like it got to the stage, oh my God, he's going to abandon this match. But he never did. But it just a kind of a funny story came to me when I was thinking about the snow. It was about Paddy Sullivan. You saw I was bringing a little bottle of 7-Up with brandy and port inside it for someone before a match, either to give you a bit of drive in your stomach or if you felt a bit jiggy before a match. It didn't have to be snowing or anything, but he'd give you a little I never tasted it. I saw it being passed around to 2 or 3 fellas. So this is the day.
What about the revelation we're getting here now, Denny? I'll be getting involved.
Anyhow, I said to myself, it was so cold that Paddy would always offer to me, and I never took it, but this day I said, I'll have a little nifter out of it, seeing as it's snowing outside. So I had a little nifter and that was grand, and I played away the first half. And I was only humming at this stage, no, I wasn't singing that loud, you know. So I came in at half time and it was after sliding, I remember, across about 10 yards in the sleet, and it was soaked to the skin, and came in and going out for the second half, I was actually shaking with the cold. So I said, I'll have another little sup of that just to get me back on track. So I had another little nifter, and I ended up singing the Boys of Fair Hill for the second half with the full back. We had a great laugh, the two of us, but we won the match.
Yeah. Efi, what about you?
Well, there's lots of standout matches, I suppose. One of the matches I remember was a horror show. It was in Ballinlough when we played Killaughlin. Remember? Shouldn't have been played at all.
Yeah.
It was absolutely the coldest day I think I've ever come across. We were praying that the game would be called off.
It was the week after the county, wasn't it?
Yeah. We won the replay consequently in Kerry, but it was that game always stands out in my mind. We actually nearly got pneumonia. It was just horrendous. But the biggest enjoyment for me was just obviously being involved and being blessed afterwards. You know, when you pack up playing, you know, I was involved with Billy for a good few years as selector and stuff, and then managing the club, which was very, very proud. I mean,
4 in a row county titles.
Yeah, but even outside of that, just the fact of managing Nemo, you know, there's a privilege few really have done it over the years, and like the responsibility of that, and the fact that it would be given to you, you know, by the club, because it's voted on by the club members every year. So, and again, with that, I got great help from, well, Billy came with me for the first year when I was there, I think first year or two maybe. So there was always that little bit of extra advice there for you when you took a rein like that. So. But
how tough was 08 to take against Vincent's?
Yeah, it was very tough.
Because funny enough, we were in Vincent's at the end of last summer. Mickey Whelan obviously looks at it very differently, in that his men, for years he'd sort of held on to the failures of being Dublin manager, and this was some sort of sweet release that finally he was able to go and get that All-Ireland. Like, the fact that Nemo haven't been able to get there since, is it something that still gnaws at you? Or the fact that you've won the All-Ireland with the ladies, does it...
None of that. You know, people, with me, I suppose, in terms of victory, it'd be funny enough, like, when you win something, it lasted a couple of days and you know, have a nice time that. When you lose something, that did last a lot longer. I felt, you know, there was refereeing decisions and stuff that I felt went against us towards the finish, not a lot of extra time played and all of that. But at the end of the day, when you reflect on it, you know, we didn't start well and we were 6 points down, I think, at halftime. But our response was excellent, so I couldn't have asked for any more of the players. But I don't tend to dwell on matches like that. I mean, what's the point? The game is over, you know. Winning All-Irelands, it's nice. Yeah, it's fine. But having a playing career, regardless of whether you're playing junior or intermediate or playing at inter-county level, the fact that you feel that you've got the most out of yourself and that, you, yeah, of course you have regrets and you feel you could have done things differently maybe and all of that, and in hindsight is great. But like, I've made friends for life in Nemo, you know, and like, I wouldn't swap that for the world. I certainly wouldn't swap it for any of the stuff we've won, because it's just been a very, very special time. And whilst I'm not involved in it at a hands-on level, I have a daughter who's fanatical about Nemo and plays camogie and football out there. So it's just a privilege to have been involved and to be lucky enough, I would say, to be born in Turner's Cross, and to be, like, we were born, I suppose, only 30 or 40 metres away from one another, and to have that kind of bond, you know, that we'd have for the rest of our lives is just something that no money could buy, really.
Yeah, it's what separates the club, I guess. Yeah. You two lads have got to get a train back to Cork. Couldn't be spending the night in Dublin.
I tell you now, I was going to drive up, but my good friend Dennis here decided we'd get the train.
Uh-huh.
And if we tummed, we'd have been up about 3 hours quicker.
See, he charged me for the petrol in the car, where I get free travel on the train.
Oh yeah, Dinny has free travel, and I'm his passenger. I'm his assistant.
Alan, thanks a lot for coming in as well. Very best of luck in the semi-final.
Thanks very much.
You're feeling confident. The weight of history on your shoulders.
Come on.
Yeah, I was nice what Ify said about, you know, there he wouldn't swap any of the stuff he's won, but I think he was just trying to make me feel better. So
I'm trying to push on
with that now. No.
Well, very best of luck. Of course, it is a new club calendar. Semi-finals taking place the first weekend in January, and then the finals towards the end of January. Check out gaa.ie for all the fixtures. Thanks a lot for coming to the studio, lads.
Cheers.
No bad.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.